Thank you.
Just down here.
Yeah, good. Okay. If this pulpit gets in my way a little bit, once in a while, I shake. Just get out of my way when I shake. And if I hit you when I shake, it's your problem, not mine. I'm looking for you to understand that everybody has problems, and my problems have been a little bit more severe over the last couple of years, but so has the love of God increased in my life, and I'm very happy about it. Is that all right? Yes, if you're having a bad day, welcome. You have to learn to love bad days. Are you listening to me? Just learn to love bad days, and you will be better off for that. I want you to turn, if you would, just to something briefly. Job, we used to say in earlier days, Job, but once we've learned that actually it's Job, it is now chapter 2, if you would. Job, chapter number 2. And I apologize, well, kind of I apologize, to I shake a little bit with some of the infirmity that I have. And I don't want infirmities to stop me. Is that okay? It may hinder us. An infirmity may hinder us a little bit, but it shouldn't stop us. So again, I apologize. I have shakes and all that. You might say, well, it looks like he has some kind of disease, which I do. They diagnosed me as having a disease, but 2 years later, after the formal diagnosis of a couple of different diseases, they said, well, you don't have that. And I said, well, that's great. And I said, well, what do you think I have? And they said, we don't know. And I said, well, that's wonderful. And I said, they said, well, it's not this and it's not that. And I said, nope, it's none of that. And they said, what do you want to do? And they said, we don't know. And I said, sounds great to me. And so we don't know what I have, but it's fun. You got to make jokes about what you have or what's coming in your life. Because what you got to be careful about is joking about someone else, because you might get it. Then you'll have to learn to smile. And then that's really good when you can learn to smile at the ones who are laughing at you. And may I say that after a while, when you read the Bible a little bit, it helps. For example, look at Job. Look at chapter 2 and look at verse 7. Job chapter 2 and verse 7. And I always have to go back and say, I read a couple of words and say, is that the right one? Have you ever heard someone preach and they're preaching along and we're looking at each other and say, I don't know what and where he's at in the Bible. And he has the wrong chapter, he has the wrong verse, and he's just preaching along. Have you ever seen that? And it's like, wait a minute, stop for a moment. Where are you at? And I say, well, we're where you are, where are you at? And it's like, who's to blame? Look, once you get on the right page, everything will be fine. So let's get on the right page in Job chapter 2, verse 7. It starts out, and so went Satan forth. Is that the right one? Is that the right one? Okay, so went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with what? Boils. Talk to me. Smote Job with what? Boils. Then it says, boils from the sole of his foot unto the crown. Ask the question, have you ever had a boil? If you haven't, I've had one boil. It lasted for about 8 or 9 days. And it was actually terrible. It grew and grew and grew. And it's like, well, what could they do for it? And you kind of grit your teeth and say, man, I don't know, but it won't go away. And then it gets really ugly. Do you know what a boil does when it gets ugly and begins speaking to you? Do you know what a boil does when it starts speaking to you? I hope it's these are men in here. It gets pussy. What do you mean, pussy? Well, it just starts spurting out gross. Come on, are you with me?
Yes.
It's like, man, what kind of message is this? Oh, it's one you'll remember. What? Well, what did he say? Well, it started out talking about pussy boils. And I don't know what they call them overseas. Maybe there's another name for them where you're at. But all I know is it's nasty and it hurts. And the pus gets bigger and gets more gross. And may I say to you, it takes on a life of its own. And there's nothing you can do. We say, how do you treat it? You endure it. I don't know if there's a treatment for boils, but I had a treatment. All I know is you just wait, and you don't have it. It has you. Is that right? Okay, good. I'm glad we're on the right page now. And then it will leave a scar. It wants you to know it was there. Come on, are you still with me?
Yes.
And it wants you to know it took over. And it doesn't want you to forget it. And sometimes it will leave a scar. Well, look at me. Job had boils, sore. Do you see the word there, sore? Sore boils from the sole of his foot unto the crown of his head. I'm pausing for a moment. I would just like you to think for a moment. He had these boils from the beginning of his body till the end of his body and everything in between. Are you still with me? Just think about that for a moment. A man, I went to church and I heard this guy preach. What did he preach on? Pus. Boils. Well, didn't he tell you how to get healed? I don't know. Maybe there's a way. But I know this too. It said, verse 8, and he took the potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Brethren, why did he sit down among the ashes? What was the only way he could get a little comfort? Was the ashes. Come on, you still with me? Did I lose you? He sat down and he had to scrape himself. You say, man, this is what a way to talk to a message. Well, he had to scrape himself and the pus ran out. You can understand why the ladies aren't in here today. I thought about, well, this message won't go over well. Well, you have to get the illustration. And this lasted for a long guy's time. And that's how his day began. How long did it last? Brethren, maybe I have this wrong, but in the book of Job, time is not talking about very much. Talk to me a little bit. What do you mean? Well, time isn't talked about very much. You mean what? Days, years, months? It just doesn't talk about much about time in the book of Job. So you don't know how long it lasted. I just know this. It hurt. He had scars. He looked after he came through all this. It doesn't tell us how long. It doesn't how significant the pain was. But we do know this. God allowed it to happen. And then he went even wrote about this so we could relate to it and understand something. You say, what did you learn at church? Man, I don't know, but I really thought about the boils and the ashes and that I had to scrape. It made me glad that I didn't have what Job had. But God chose Job as an illustration. And we could talk about chapter 1, Job, and what he went through. Job chapter 1, I'm not going to ask you to turn there because it was not really good. He started losing all his servants and all his wealth. And then in chapter 2, now he's in chapter 2 where these boils are going on. He's in these trials. He's in tribulations. And please listen. It was what God chose for him. Again, please, we don't know the timing. But then we're going to read further, and not right now. But do we have, please, can I say an amen that we have your attention? All we're doing is reading about what Job is going through and getting our mind set so we can enjoy later on. Look at Job chapter 42, please. Please. Chapter 42, please. And this is really important to understand just a little bit. Not that I know a whole lot, but when you read this, there's a couple of things maybe to understand. Look at Job 42. And in Job chapter 42, look at verse 10. Verse 10. And do I have the right one? It says, the Lord turned the captivity. So look, where Job was at in chapter 2, I'm sorry, 42, verse 10, Job was in captivity that had to be turned. What do you mean? And the Lord turned the captivity of Job. Well, that means that Job was in captivity. What do you mean? When Job was in captivity, maybe in the time of the boils. Does that make sense? Do I have that right? You say, why are you dwelling on this? Well, it's just Bible. Where the Lord turned the captivity of Job. So it's not just the boils, but it doesn't say this went on for the rest of his time. But there was a lot of things going on. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Isn't it a nice thing to pray for your friends when he's in a time of captivity? The Lord prayed and gave Job twice as much as he had before. I mean, this was the Lord blessing Job and giving Job greater wealth. Would you agree with that? Because look at chapter 42. Thank you. 42:12. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than the beginning. I'm just pausing for a moment, letting you to get used to my stuttering and my shaking and all that. Why? Well, because some things can just come upon you and you don't know why. And you don't know what you did. But at least you're still alive. And you gotta be happy about life. But could you understand? It's difficult for me just to even go to the restroom. But I don't complain about that. Think about just some of the stuff you have to do when you're in captivity, and then the Lord starts blessing you, but there are scars. Come on. And I'm not complaining. Some of the people in the Bible and with you have it much worse than I have. But if you're doing well right now, thank the Lord. Right? And we're in 42 that God allowed the captivity of Job to be released, and then the Lord blessed him even more than the beginning. And maybe God has you captive in some way, shape, or form in your life, and you're just having to deal with it in some way, and it hurts, and it's painful, and it is still in the middle of the night, and you don't know what to do about it, and you go to the doctor, and they don't know, and you know, it's emotional, or it's downtrodden, or you got to take this little medicine, or you're praying for God's healing. Nothing wrong with nothing wrong with praying for God's healing. Keep praying, brother. Well, I'm get exhausted praying for the healing, and it doesn't seem like it's come about. Keep praying. But don't be discouraged if God's still allowed you to have the boils. Did you hear what I said? Is it still okay if God says no? You're just going to live with that boil. But it's all right. Well, that doesn't seem fair. Who said life has to be fair? Come on, who said life has to be fair? At least you're still alive. Do you have a limp? Yeah, but you're still alive. Come on. I'm in church today. So are you. What are you learning about? Boils. Painful. But one more place, if you would please. Look at in the New Testament, look at 2 Corinthians 12. And I won't ask you to turn to many more scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm just going to ask you to say amen once in a while. Because why? Even if you don't agree, just say amen. Yeah. Even if you don't understand, why are you saying amen? Amen kind of says, well, I agree. Well, even if you don't agree, just say amen, brother. Go with the rest of us. Right? Maybe you'll learn something even though you have a bad attitude. It'll be fine. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And thank you for your patience with me, truly. This type of physical impairity that I have is really a blessing. I mean that. I'm not just saying that. It's really, really good. And then on top of this, I have I have 3 years of stuff that, you know, you go to the doctors, and you guys, a lot of guys have this kind of stuff that you have to do, and you do all that, and you go to the doctors, and then they say, well, Brother Fisher, looks like you have a boil. And I said, why? Well, it just looks like it's come upon you. And I say, okay. And they say, well, how long, what do you want to do? What do you want us to do? And I said, I don't know. I got to go to church. Amen. Well, how long is that? Well, I say, well, I got to go to church for about 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, yeah. So this trip will last for 5 or 6 days. And, well, they say it's going to take 2 weeks for that boil to go away or be taken care of. And I said, well, I guess we just get to suffer. And you might as well suffer with a smile. Come on, are you still with me? Come on, don't fall asleep on me, or I'll make you suffer more. And it's just something, and then in the suffering, I have something on the back of my neck that's popped up now for, my wife said, boy, you got to take care of that. And I said, I can't. Just, you know, we can't cut it out. She said, no, no, no. She said, we'll lance it. And I said, lance it, huh? That doesn't sound good. You know what lancing is? Lancing is means they're going to cut it to let it drain. I said, that doesn't sound good. And my wife says, well, this has to happen. And I say, okay, let it happen. And I said, well, you didn't tell me everything. And she said, well, you didn't ask. Come on.
Yes, sir.
That's a good wife.
Yes, sir.
Don't ask everything.
Yes, sir.
And so I have this thing on the back of my head, and then I have this other thing, and, you know, I'm not complaining. I'm in church. And these things happen when you're in church. I'm glad to be here. I'm looking forward. There's some chocolate cake somewhere. And I'm going to eat a little bit of chocolate cake sometime with my boils. No, my boil. Just one. But I'm thinking about, well, at least I'm not Job. Man, I'm telling you, just one is fine. And then whatever else that I have, we'll get to that in about 4 or 5 weeks, maybe. And all is well. I mean that, all is well. I'm serious about it. I'm supposed to be here for 2 or 3 days. My wife is here. We're having a great time. Yeah. I'm happy. Then we're going over to the east coast of the United States, which I'm sorry to report. What do you mean? Well, come on. If you're from the east coast of the United States, you know what I'm talking about. It's just. They speak in a different language. Come on, is that right? I'm happy about it though. And notice where we're at. 2 Corinthians 12, please. 2 Corinthians 12, thank you. And look at verse 7. Verse 7, please. Verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure. Do I have the right?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. through the abundance of the revelations that there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. But notice this thorn has a mind of its own. A messenger of Satan. This thorn it's a messenger of Satan to buffet. Do you know what buffeting is? Anybody, buffet. What? Buffet, like buffet, it's painful, it's hurtful. It's gonna beat me up. Come on, is that right? This messenger of Satan's gonna beat me up. It's gonna buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. So you know what it's supposed to do? It's supposed to humble me. You say, I need to be humbled. Well, there you go. There you have it. Everybody needs humility. This thing, I besought the Lord thrice. Three times I asked the Lord that it might depart from me. Man, I've been buffeted long enough. You still with me? Yeah. And I asked the Lord three times that buffeting would stop, that it might depart from me. And you know what he said? He said, unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Amen. That's all you need. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So if you want to be strong, you got to get weak. Well, I want to be stronger. Yeah, then you have to get weaker first. Or somewhere along the line, you got to get weak. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmity, in that weakness. I want to glory in it. I want to be happy about it. Is that what it says? I want to glory in it. I want to be happy about it. Why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. I've been praying for the power of Christ. I've been praying for the power of the Lord. Well, here comes the power, but you're going to have an infirmity. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Notice it said in infirmities, plural. Plural, plural, plural. What, in necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake? For when I am weak, then am I strong. Do you get in these thoughts? You don't have to worry about me preaching a long time. If you're getting these thoughts, then the Holy Ghost is giving you what you need. And right now, I've been really praying and I've been thinking, boy, it seems like there is liberty. I really mean this. If you understand what liberty is like when I'm speaking the word, there seems to be liberty. There seems to be understanding. I'm getting it. I may not be getting it all, but I'm getting something. And I need to be more of what I'm getting. Understanding, maybe, wisdom, taking away my bad attitude, or I've been praying, Lord, help me to do something in a bigger way. And the Lord says, I'm going to let you do it, but I'm going to give you some weakness to go along with it. And just learn to endorse that and embrace that because that's the way these things happen. And I've known these scriptures, and I've read them all before, and I've studied them, and some of you guys, I've even preached on it. Good. Preach on it again. Study it again. Make it right now in this church service where it's supposed to happen. And may the Holy Ghost bless you and strengthen you with more wisdom. I'll guarantee you, some of you in here have never quite heard it this way before. Not because it's my preaching, it's because the Lord is giving you greater understanding. I mean that. For some of y'all, this may be the first time you heard something like this. Well, good. Grab on to it. And don't worry about what someone else says or think or try to manipulate your mind. If you're getting weaker, good. You'll get stronger by getting weaker. So let me pause for a moment. So I thought about what I'm supposed to do just a little bit here. And if it's okay, just for a few minutes, I just want to talk to you for just a couple of minutes. Not like yell at you or, you know, just talk to you a little bit and let the Holy Ghost talk to you. It's not that I know anything. You don't have to worry about even having an opinion of me. That's okay. I don't even like myself. So we could agree on that. What do you mean? Now you don't have to like me. I don't even like you. But we agree that we're in church together. And if you have an opinion about me, well, you know what? I'm available after the services, and you can stand in line, and I'll just let you complain. That's okay. And then I'll forget about what you complained about, and maybe I'll take it to heart and think about it and say, well, yeah, I agree. I shouldn't have done that. Pastor, would you come up here for a moment? You know me. Sometimes I like to use illustrations, and Pastor, I know you love me, even if you don't. Come right up here to your microphone.
Sure.
This is his pulpit, and you know the content of the message right now. You know what you personally might be going through. And just the 5 or 6, 7 minutes that we talked just about where you're at with a few things and how the meeting is coming along, and we're not backbiting anything. This is all positive. I mean that. And it's okay with me to stop for a moment and just talk to Pastor. I honor him, and this is not planned, but Pastor, maybe just a couple of words about, okay, the church, this is really a good time and what the church is going through, and it's been a few things with the family, and the Lord is helping, and there's more wonderful things happening. We don't know what they all are, But could you just take a few minutes, please, and I'll not talk to you behind your back. I'd rather talk to you in front of the church at the pulpit. Is that all right? So go ahead just for a couple minutes. We didn't discuss this, but now we are.
Yeah. I guess the something that I'm more aware of is just that concept of weakness. And you know, personally, I'm a person who I like to take things in my stride, and I think I can just push through and endure. And I don't like to admit I'm weak. I don't like to admit that I'm not as astute or sharp as I should be, because I'm a pastor. But I think recently what the Lord's been teaching me is that, you know, that He allows us to go through things, and then He magnifies some things in our lives that reveal that actually you are weak, you just don't admit it. And recently, you know, the church has been going well, we've been very busy, we've had a lot of things on, and we've had some family things, God's been taking us through some learnings about grief. But it's been a challenging and fruitful time. You men get that? You know, it's often both, isn't it? And I took a couple of months off, and I know that you can't always do that, but there was a realigning that God had to do in me. There were some priorities that I had let slip, and there were some things that God had to weaken me and had to go through a process of just breaking in my own walk and in my own estimation, so that God could bring me through to what the next season for our church will be. And I told the church when I did speak to the church about this, that I don't want to be a pastor that isn't all there. I want to be whole. And the church was very gracious. And I think, you know, the last 2 months being away, it's been difficult to just watch. But it's also been joyful, because I've seen that there's a church here who love the Lord, who do not rely on their pastor, they rely on the Lord. And that we have gifted good men and good people who will just care for the things you care about. And I've loved that church. There's been a strengthening there of just my understanding of their care for our family. Amen. You know, we've moved here. We've taken our family from the place I was familiar and grew up in, and we've been placed here. But then also just the strengthening of the maturity of our church, and in that it doesn't have to be me. I'm not the beast of burden here. We're a team. And I recognize how strong our team is, and I'm thankful. And God strengthened me in that confidence of, we can press forward here by God's grace. And we can press forward even if we're not always all together, we're put through the fire, we've got some boils we're dealing with currently. And we're finding ourselves in ash heap. And that, yet in all of that, God supplies the strength we need. And so I'm thankful for that. Thank you, preacher.
Good. Go ahead, clap. Just for a moment, preacher, and we'll be finished. Sorry, when I try to think, I stutter. You are going through some wonderful things, Pastor. And I'm so very, very happy that upcoming in April, you have a new season. Could you say something? It's in April?
Yeah, so we've announced that we're moving conference to April. just you know, we're busy as a church, and you know, we want to support. We've, you know, as you know, True North Summit is usually back to back, and you can't really negotiate with Pastor Mansell. He always wins up, but he and I have talked often about the timing of things, and just as the Lord has led, you know, we're going to move the conference to April, but really with just a renewed emphasis that we want to strengthen your families. We want to invest in you all as ministers, but just you as people of the church, and we want to invest in your family. One of the things we've been excited about is that you're bringing your kids and your teenagers, and we had a good number of young people in the teen session, but we want to really push that ahead in the month of April. And so I want to encourage you men, we know that if we're going to move forward in the work of God, it's only if we strengthen not just individuals but the family unit, and we want to invest that way. And so I want to invite you already in April to come, bring your families, bring the your kids. We've got a great kids conference going now. We want to invest that way, and we want this to be a place where you as a family, as a church, can feel loved and invested, and you've got friends here that care greatly for you.
Can we now just, without taking away from the momentum, could we just have a 5 minutes of prayer together, please, on what we just heard, what's going on, what this church and pastor has talked about? Could we just, for a moment, get on our knees, please? Go ahead and start coming forward, and let's pray for this church. Come on. You don't have to have a formal invitation, but just stand and come. Good. Start coming, and let's pray.